might seem difficult to get your head around with everything else that's going on, but elections are happening. Tomorrow's primary day in Michigan. Mail-in ballots are being received at city, township, and county clerks all over, and plans are underway for some in-person voting as well. With all 14 of Michigan's U.S. House seats up in the air, one Senate seat, 110 state House seats at stake, on top of all community-level candidates and issues, there's plenty to keep in mind. We're here with Gongbor News Service publisher Zach Gorchow and MLive reporter Emily Lawler to go over some of the top issues and voting etiquette during the pandemic. Zach, Emily, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for
having me. Good to be here.
So what issues do you think will be among voters' top priorities from the folks you've been talking with in your reporting? Emily, do you want to start us off?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think the top races are garnering the most interest right now, with the exception, of course, of the presidential race, since we did that primary in March. But there's a lot of speculation right now around the U.S. Senate race. I know that John James has risen to really quite a prominent, almost a celebrity status within the Republican Party, and seeing how that translates into the ballot box. And then, of course, we've got our congressional districts, which have become more interesting in recent years, especially districts like the 8th and the 11th that are sort of newly Democratic districts that Republicans are looking at as in play this cycle.
Zach, does that dovetail with what you're hearing and seeing?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a quieter primary than usual, not surprising because there's no statewide competitive primary that's up on the ballot. Also, you have this bizarre situation because of the pandemic where you don't have candidates really going door to door very much, not anywhere near the extent usual. But that doesn't mean there aren't a lot of really interesting races out there. I'd say probably there's a couple that really stand out to me right now. I think the biggest race on the ballot is the Oakland County Executive primary between Dave Coulter, the current executive, and Andy Meisner, the county treasurer. The one that has the most heat with the most at stake, like by far. I don't even know if there's a close second. You know, I interviewed these candidates recently. And one candidate invoked the other's mother and the other called the other a failure. So this is a race where there is no love lost and there's a big stakes there.
That certainly sounds like a normal election year.
Yes. Yeah, that's really, you know, other than everything else is so quiet, that's the one that's really generated some traditional animosity. I look at the races for Congress. I think, you know, probably, you know, the most important primary on the ballot is the one up in the Thumb and Macomb County to replace Paul Mitchell, who's not seeking re-election, because it is such a solidly Republican district that the winner of the primary is virtually assured to be elected in the fall. And you've got a lot going on there. You've got three interesting candidates, and that race has seen, you know, some traditional negative attacks. There's a lot of heat there. So I think that one is up for grabs, too.
See, Zach, that's interesting. When you started your sentence, I thought you were going to talk about the 3rd Congressional District race, where Peter Meyer and State Representative Lynn Afendoulis are among those contending to try to replace Justin Amash.
Well, that's up there as well. But I think the difference there is, I think the Democrats are going to make a real push for that district in the fall. So whoever wins the Republican primary, the three major contenders being Peter Meyer, Lynn Afendoulis, and Tom Norton, they've got a fight on their hands for the fall. I mean, I think whoever comes out of the Republican primary is the favorite, but the Democratic candidate, Hillary Scholten, is going to make a big push. You've got Kent County is changing considerably. That one's not over on Tuesday, whereas the one in Macomb and the Thumb, that one's over after Tuesday.
Sure.
Also, I would put on the radar the 13th with Rashida Tlaib and Brenda Jones. It doesn't look like much of a match from a fundraising standpoint, but remember that Detroit City Council President Brenda Jones actually did have that seat for a short amount of time and in a primary that was split a lot of ways. Last time around, Rashida Tlaib came out on top. It split two ways this time around, and I think that makes it a little bit of a different contest.
We've actually got some more on that race to listen to in just a few minutes, so we will come back to the 13th. Emily, when we mentioned the third, I was thinking about Grand Rapids and everything that's happened there over the past few months. How do you see the Black Lives Matter protests and related conversations impacting the election?
You know, I think they certainly will. And, you know, you mentioned things that have happened in that region recently. Obviously, they had a spate of protests that were, you know, more intense than what we saw in many other parts of the state. They also, for a time, were really spiking in COVID cases and having issues with local businesses who, in some cases, got sort of a double whammy with some of the protests spilling into their spaces and then also, you know, some COVID exposure at their spaces as well. So I think that that was going to be an interesting area to watch no matter what, because it's becoming less of a conservative stronghold and has traditionally been, you know, I would say the biggest population center conservative stronghold in Michigan. And I think it was going to be interesting either way, but recent events only make it more intriguing of a race.
We joke that things will never be the same after 2020, but I wonder if there may be a grain of truth to that in terms of elections. According to the Free Press, Michigan is expected to lose a seat in Congress once the census is completed this year. And as we all know, there's a state commission under construction to draw new district lines. Do you, either of you, see that affecting voters' decisions? I don't know if it's exactly top of mind with everything that's happening with the economy and COVID and protests, but do you think that some people in districts that may be changing are aware of that this year?
I don't think it's a factor in voters' decisions. This is about a candidate-to-candidate choice in the national political environment. However, redistricting played a big role in the candidate fields, and that is going to play a huge factor. You look at in the 8th district, this is Alyssa Slotkin's district, you know, the Republicans did not do well in the candidate recruitment department. I believe they'd have four candidates, none of which would be considered A-listers. And this was a race they really wanted an A-lister challenger. But the problem is the district is going to look so radically different after reapportionment next year that I think a lot of the top tier potential Republicans looked at it and said, well, why would I run for this now and have to go up against the Alyssa Slotkin buzzsaw when I can just wait? There could be a much more favorable district to go for, you know, in 2 years. And the same thing happened in the Haley Stevens district, I think, where again, Republicans have five candidates, none of which would be considered very strong. They certainly had a deep bench of potential strong candidates. But again, that district is likely to look radically different. So while I don't believe it's going to play any role in voters making their decisions, make no mistake, the looming reapportionment is playing a big role and how these races ultimately could turn out, because the Republicans, I think, struggled to get the kind of candidates they would have liked to have gotten.
Do either of you know much about how voter turnout looks so far? Obviously, this is the first time that voters have been able to get ballots, absentee ballots on demand en masse.
Yeah, I do think that absentees are up. You know, I do feel like we say that a little bit every election, but you're right that that's expanded certainly with Proposal 3 of 2018. And we did see some increased absentee in the presidential primary as well. And then, you know, the pandemic also contributes to that. So I'm curious as to how many people actually show up at the polls in person. You know, my strong suspicion is that many people who normally would go in person have chosen to do absentees this year, which of course could in fact affect processing time and delay our results a little bit here in Michigan.
We know that Governor Whitmer has not mandated that masks be worn at the polls due to, quoting here, legal concerns. But at the same time, she has said that they need to be worn in public spaces. Have either of you seen any guidance on what the difference is exactly?
I do think that she's said that the masks in polls are strongly encouraged, while citing the legal issues you mentioned. Of course, nobody wants to look like they're stopping someone from exercising, you know, their constitutional rights and their voting rights over a piece of fabric. So I think that might be a little bit of the perception issue. But I mean, yeah, you're right. Masks are required in public places. And I think that, you know, contrary to the guidance she's issued, for instance, to businesses, which is basically turn away anybody who doesn't have a mask or offer them an alternative like curbside, You know, poll workers are not getting that same instruction and aren't supposed to stop people from voting because of not having a mask.
Interesting. I suppose we should close with some information. If folks still haven't voted absentee or they still haven't registered, is there still time to do that? Zach, do you know?
I mean, what you should do is take your ballot to your local clerk in person. There's usually a drop box. You know, I live in East Lansing. That's how I, you know, I usually would go to the precincts to vote. But, you know, I drove my ballot down to City Hall. There's a little drop box outside. I plopped it in there instead of putting it in the mail. And because absentee ballots received after 8 p.m. tomorrow will not count by law. And I think it's pretty safe to say if you tried putting it in the mail today, it's unlikely to arrive in time. So you're going to want to take it there in person. It's also possible to go to your clerk and just vote an absentee ballot right then and there, even if you don't have the ballot yet.
And we do allow same day registration now, too. So, you know, if you aren't registered to vote, but still want to vote in this election, I believe you can go there on election day and get it all taken care of at once.
Emily Lawler is a reporter with MLive. We've also been speaking with Zach Gorchow, publisher of Gongwer News Service. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.